Let's bow our hearts to pray as we go into the word. Heavenly Father, the next few minutes that is available unto us in this service, Lord, I pray that you will speak to every heart in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are our hope. You are our joy. In you we live, in you we move, in you we do all things. Father, Lord, as we look into your word of life this morning, Lord, I pray that your word will speak to every heart. In the name of Jesus, minister unto us in the name of Jesus, that your name and your name alone will be glorified in Jesus' precious name. I commit myself into your hands, O God, as a willing vessel. Lord Almighty, flow through me and let me speak precisely as you have intended. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise Jesus. So this morning, I want to talk to us on what I have titled, Do Not Despair. Do Not Despair. Many things can happen or do happen in our lives that causes us to despair. I remember when things were going on and things were not exactly going the way we had hoped they would go with our building project. At a point, I was in total despair. I was wondering, Lord, what is going on? We've been at this thing for about 5 years. When is the end going to be in sight? And we, in the meantime, we keep spending money maintaining the property, the land. And I'm like, Lord, I really am at a loss as to what to do. And the Lord encouraged me. And I pray that the Lord will encourage somebody here today in the name of Jesus. Please open your Bibles with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings and the 6th chapter. We're going to read 2 verses from there. And we'll jump to the next chapter, chapter 7. So 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 24 and 25. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 24 and 25. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. That is 80 pieces of silver. And the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung, that's dove's feces, for 5 pieces of silver. 2 Kings chapter 7 from verse 3 to 8. This is what we're about to read now is as a result, a consequence of what we just read. So the city was besieged. There was great problems in the city, and we continue to read. 2 Kings chapter 7 from 3 to 8. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Somebody say, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Verse 5. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. The Lord will cause your enemies to hear a noise today. In the name of Jesus. Everything holding you down will hear from God today. In the mighty name of Jesus. He said the Lord had made the host of Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight. I want you to notice this. The Bible says at twilight, they left Samaria. And at twilight, the camp of the Syrians also left their camp. Because at that moment, the Lord caused them to hear a noise. We're going somewhere today. Wherefore, they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. Your enemies will flee for their life in the name of Jesus. Everything that is holding you down and is not letting you break free and break through, they will run for their dear life in the name of Jesus. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again. So whatever they did before, they came to do it again. You will celebrate success time and time again this year. In the name of Jesus, you will reap wonderful good harvest this year, time and time and time again. In the mighty name of Jesus. They will talk about it. Didn't you just celebrate? You say, yes, I did, and I have another reason to do it again. In the name of Jesus. Listen to this. The Bible says, and they came again and entered into another tent and carried thence and went and hid it. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Friends, this morning, I want you to know that God has brought you to a place where destinies are fulfilled and potentials are maximized. And that place is Salvation Center San Antonio. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to remind us of our scripture for the month and the scripture for the year. Leviticus 25 and verse 21 says, then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year. And I told you, forget about the sixth year, put 2013 there. Amen. And then I will command my blessing upon you, April Agbuola, in 2013. And it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years in the name of Jesus. The Bible is saying to somebody here today, I just mentioned her name. In my heart, I said my name. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. The Bible is saying to somebody here today that the blessings of the Lord upon your life this year, every turn of events, the promotion that God is giving you, each one will last 3 years. So if you get 10, it means the 10 that you have received will last you for 30 years. If you get 20, it means the 20 that you have received will last you for 60 years. And so shall it be in the mighty name of Jesus. And the Lord told to us, said to us expressly that it shall be a year of fruitfulness and a year of bountiful harvest. Listen to me. One of the reasons people don't get blessed in the church is stated in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. The latter part of it, the Bible says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. And believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. It's telling you, for you to prosper, you have to believe the prophecy that God has given to the church. If you say, that sounds good, but I don't know how it's going to be, the bot just killed what you have believed. Amen? When the Lord speaks, there is no bot. Amen? So this year, it will be a fruitful year. I don't care what your experience was last year. I don't care what the economic meltdown has done to your business and to your family and to your life. But this year, it will be a year of fruitfulness for you. It will be a year of bountiful harvest for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. You know, at this time, when God was speaking to the children of Israel, that believe God and you will be established. It was a time of national despair. It was a time of national crisis. Because at this time, the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, had just attacked the city, the country. Hezekiah was doing so well, building the temple, restoring worship, and things were going great. And then all of a sudden, I know many of us have experienced that. Life is going great. Everything is smooth. In fact, it's more beautiful than you had imagined. And then all of a sudden, one singular event, and everything is turned around, and you are like, what happened? Praise the Lord. Whatever happened, the Lord will turn it around in the name of Jesus. So when Sennacherib came against the nation, they were all very afraid. Why? Because Sennacherib was a strong king. Hezekiah at this time had never fought any battle because the Lord was with him. He was enjoying peace. And all of a sudden, the enemy came and was threatening and was boasting. He said, have you not heard what my father and myself, what we have done to other nations? Meanwhile, Hezekiah is trying to encourage the people. He's telling the country, he's telling them, don't worry, our God is a good God. We worship and we serve a living God, and this God will deliver us. He was encouraging them, but the enemy said, Hezekiah is lying to you. Say, I will destroy you. You better don't listen to him. I don't know what the enemy is saying to you. You know, that voice of the enemy sometimes can be the voice of a trusted confidant. Amen. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter was one of the three out of the 500. He was in the elite squad. He was very close to the master. But at one point, the master said to him, Peter, the enemy is speaking through you. Get thee behind me. Friends, when God has spoken, I don't care who speaks afterwards. You must hold on to the word of God. I know many of us, you know, busy schedule and all of these things, but you should make time for Bible study. In Bible study, we have done a two-part series on the word of God. And we started a new series now on faith. And we are connecting the word of God with faith. Believe me, when God has spoken, it is as good as done. When God says it, it is done. Praise the Lord. So the enemy was telling them, he said, no, God cannot deliver you. The gods of the other countries could not deliver them from me and my father. But I'm telling you, we serve a living God. Sister Betty, we serve a living God. His name is Jehovah. His name is El Shaddai, the great provider, the breasty one of Israel, in whom there is no want and there is no lack. Amen? So he was boasting and he was saying all of these things. But Jehoshaphat, I said Zenekai, Jehoshaphat held on to God. Jehoshaphat held on to God. Sennacherib came in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and was boasting. Was boasting like the other king too. But God came through for those people. I don't know where you are at this point in your life. You know, in church, we all look pretty. That's why I like church. You know, everybody looks pretty. Everybody looks happy. But everyone knows where the shoe is pinching them. Praise the Lord. You know. But I'm assuring you this morning, it doesn't matter whether your smile is fake or real. It doesn't matter whether the happy face you have on you is a mask or not. But I'm assuring you today that God is alive and God is well. And is a good God that cares so much about you. Praise the Lord. So let's go back to our text. In our text, the Bible says the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, came and besieged the city. What is a siege? A siege, when someone is going through a siege is something that puts a limitation or a barrier around your life. Because when you besiege a city, what they do is they cordon off the city. The city is surrounded. You have seen movies. In the movies, they take the squad team and the police and everybody, they surround the building, and then they bring out a phone and say, you are completely surrounded. Come out with your hands on your head and this and that, and come out slowly and whatever, whatever, whatever. That is a siege. When a person is under a siege, when a life is under a siege, there is nothing you do that comes out right. Every help doesn't work out. Every confidence is lost. The people that you trusted and you knew that this person will come through for me, for some reason at that time, they are not able to help you. Nothing is working out. All the doors are shut. All the openings are shut. There is no way out. That is a siege. When a life is under a siege, the only thing that can deliver that person is God. Attack on every side. I understand very well what a siege means. The year 2007 is a year I will never forget in a hurry. Because in the year 2007, I was under a siege. My family was under a siege. My business was under a siege. The church was under a siege. Everywhere I turned, there was an obstacle. So I know what I'm talking about. Amen? A siege is something that shuts you in and there's no way out. You look at all of your options and there is nothing. You turn to the right, the right is not working out. You turn to the left, it's not working out. You look ahead of you, it's bleak. You look behind you, it's gloom. That is a siege. A natural outcome of a siege is despair. What is despair? To be in despair is to be utterly at a loss. You become desperate and hopeless, miserable, gloom, depression. Amen? In the year 2007, we lost our house. In the year 2007, we lost our business. In the year 2007, we lost our vehicle. The vehicle was repossessed. The house, we had to do what they call a short sale so that it doesn't go into foreclosure. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. But I'm assuring you, as the Lord lives, the Lord has restored to his glory. Better than where we were before. And I don't know where you are today. Perhaps you are under a siege. The Lord will set you free. The Lord will break through the siege and make you go free. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says that Samaria was under a siege. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. Say, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. We were pressed until there was nothing else to squeeze in us. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. This is the great apostle that is speaking here. What I'm saying to you is, whatever it is you are going through, wherever you are in your life at this point, is not peculiar to you. It's happened to people before you. It's happening to some people as you are going through it, and it will happen to some others after you have gone through it. And the one thing that can make a difference for you right now is the one thing that the enemy doesn't want you to consider. The enemy will tell you God cannot help you. Will God give you money to pay the rent? Or will God pay the mortgage for you? Will God pay the car note for you? Will God this? Will God that? Will God? Will God? Will God? Will God? Will God? Check the scriptures very well. The first words of Satan in the Bible was a question to God. Every time you hear those questions that challenge the authority of God or the word of God, know that the enemy just spoke to you. Some people wonder, how do I know the voice of the devil from the voice of God? If it's challenging the word of God, that's the voice of the devil. Or the prophetic word that God has given you. God has made a promise to you and you have settled for less because someone told you that it is not possible. One of the things I have learned in my 12 years in America, if I call an office for something and they tell me it's not possible, I said, okay, I hang up. I will call back again. Because I've realized that most people don't even know what they're talking about. They are just as depressed and frustrated as the person that is depressed and frustrated on the phone calling them. It's the truth. So when you call and it says, oh, no, I'm sorry. They tell you nicely with this. It's a lie. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Amen? The conference we had a block of rooms, and they gave us 2 suites, upgrade for free as part of the package. You know, so and because we were there till late, so my wife and I, we stayed there. So I went to the guy and I said, well, I know we have 2 suites that we could get. We only used one. Can I upgrade to the other one? He told me absolutely not. I said, really? I said, but we already charged for it. He said, yeah, but it's not. I said, okay. I just knew that I was talking to an ignoramus. There's no point to argue. So I left him. I walked away. And then I waited. Later on, I went back and I met somebody else. I said, I told them the same story. He said, oh, I'm really not sure, but let me call somebody. The lady came and she was running up and down, very apologetic. Oh, I'm very sorry. Oh, Mr. Sani. I said, that's right. He said, I'm very, very sorry. This and that and that and that and that and that. And then it turns out that the upgrade they had for us was a junior suite. But guess what? There was no junior suite, but there was a governor suite. Amen. She said, I apologize for the trouble. I'm going to upgrade you to the upgrade of the upgrade that you had and upgraded me to the governor's suite. I am telling you, do not believe the lie of the devil. What God has said to you is the word of God. What it says it will do, and it will not go back on his word. In the name of Jesus. If anything, it will give you better. Because you know what? You deserve better. You are the son and the daughter of the Most High. That is who I am. And I know who I am. Not confused about who I am. When the enemy came to tempt Jesus, he was telling him, he said, if you are the son of God, if you are the son, he is always challenging the authority of God and the authority of the word of God. That is why for you as a believer, it is a very important thing for you to know scriptures. A believer that does not know scriptures, the enemy will twist it and make you believe a lie. That's what happened to Eve in the garden. He said, did God really say? Did God really say? And she said, actually, you know what? You might be right. You just believed a lie. To despair is to, you have lost all options and you have now become desperate and anything goes. Some women, they just say, you know, I've been waiting for a long time. So the first guy that speaks to me now, I'm just going to say yes. All my friends are married. All my friends are married and having children. So nobody is really talking to me. I close my eyes right now. The first guy that says, excuse me, he said, yes, yeah, yeah. Don't finish. It's yes. God has a greater and a better future for you. God has a better plan for you and I. I never look at myself I'm not beneath anything. I'm over every circumstance. I am a firm believer in God. I believe in the abilities and in the power of God. If God can do it, then I can get it. And I've not heard of anything that is impossible for God to do but to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Amen? So I believe God. I believe God. I take away my natural intellectual abilities when it comes to God. When it comes to the matters of God, I have no opinion. If I can see a promise in the word of God, I hold on to it and that settles it. But it is possible for you and I, for us to have a curve in the road where you feel if a bit of a discomfort and you are slowed down for a little bit. But I'm saying to you this morning that the slowdown is not a permanent slowdown. Some people are not even slowing down. You have completely stopped. No movement anymore. God will set you back in motion. I say God will set you back in motion in the mighty name of Jesus. So the first thing I want us to learn in the few minutes remaining from the text that we have read, the Bible says the city was besieged and there was a famine in the land. And because of the famine, there were consequences. Amen. The number one thing I want you to learn from that text is a time of famine will always come. It doesn't matter how good, how well I am doing, a time of dryness, a time of famine always come. And if I am not ready and prepared for it, the enemy can sway you in the wrong direction. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It means there will be times of trial. The fact that you are going through a difficult time does not mean you have sinned against God. As we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 about Hezekiah, in fact, Hezekiah was at the peak of his spiritual walk with God. He was doing so well. But after these things, the enemy came. The same with Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was doing very well. He just instituted the laws of God in the temple. Then after these things, the enemy came. I'm telling you, the reason you are going through what you are going through is not necessarily because you have sinned. But a time of famine will come from time to time. I just told you right now, in October of last year, I was in despair. I was concerned. I was worried that things were not moving. I was worried that these things that we have planned, these things that we have set up, this approval that was almost a slam dunk, all of a sudden is rejected. Suddenly, many of us have been caught broadsided where we were not expecting anything to happen. But can I tell you this afternoon or this morning that even though it caught you as a surprise, God didn't go, oh me, when did that happen? It didn't catch God by surprise. A lot of the things that we are going through, God is using those situations to make us better for where he's taking us. Praise the Lord. One of the things that I many people think is only women that are worried about getting married. By the time I clocked 30 and I was not married, I was really worried. Amen? I mean, this wonderful package. Come on now. You know? So I was really concerned. I was praying. I prayed for almost 2 years when I turned 30. I said, if God, which I know God is not there, if you will hear this prayer, he has heard it already. So, an idea dropped in my spirit that why don't you start working on yourself and getting yourself ready for that woman that God is preparing? And it dropped in my heart that what if God is still fashioning the person that he wants me to marry as well? So let me continue to get better while she's getting better. So that when the better and the better comes together, you have the best. Praise the Lord. So I rested in God. You know, and as God will have it, the year that my wife was to show up, I had to counterfeit. I saw the first one look like the real deal, shining and glittering. I said, surely, this is the one. But it was a counterfeit. But for God to deliver me from that counterfeit, he brought another counterfeit. I can't tell you the whole story. If you are interested, see me after service. And come with the love offering. Because it will bless you. Just kidding. But it's a long story. But God used the second counterfeit to apply brakes, actually, essentially, to apply the brakes. So I stopped. I said, I can't go forward with this one, the counterfeit two, because I have not really finished with counterfeit one. So while I was waiting, my wife shows up. The original. There can never be a counterfeit if there's no original. So while the counterfeits were still knocking themselves out, the original showed up. So as you can imagine, I just allowed the counterfeits to properly knock themselves off. And I went with the original. And this is 14 years after. Original is still shining and glittering to the glory of God. Friends, a time of famine will come. But God will take you through it and take you out of it. When God takes you through a dry season, you will always come out better than you were when you entered into that dry season. Amen? Number two, very quickly. Every famine has an expiration date on it. You may not know it, but believe me, it does. In Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 17, Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 17, I'm reading from the easy-to-read Bible version. It says, in their homelands, those soldiers will say, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, is only a lot of noise. His time of glory is over. A time will come that the glory, that the honor and the glory that the famine is having over your life, their time will be over. And for somebody today, the time of that famine, the glory is over today. I said the time of that dryness, the glory is over today. In the name of Jesus. Everything, it has an expiration date. There's nothing that lasts forever. Let me ask you this. Your very good friends 15 years ago, are they still your very good friends till today? You have many, your BFFs 20 years ago, if you're up to 20 years old. Are they still your BFFs today? No, not really. Yes. Well, I mean, you know, the original, her brother was my BFF. But not anymore. I mean, we still talk. But it's not my homeboy, you know, that we sit down talk from. No. I have a new BFF in the original. Praise Jesus. Every problem has an expiration date on it. Every problem. There is nothing you are going through that is designed to last forever. Nothing. Except the grace of God. Except the grace of God. Even though this is not the outcome that I'm talking about, even if it's a sickness, if the sickness gets too grievous, people die. There is nothing that is designed to last forever but the grace of God. The Bible says, and it came to pass. Everything that has come will have its time to pass. Everything that has come will have its exit time. It has come and it will pass. In the name of Jesus. Every siege that may be besieging you right now, it has come, but it shall pass. I say 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 it shall pass. In the name of Jesus. It has come, it will pass. Don't let anything intimidate you. God is the only one that is almighty. I don't care how big the problem may look to you. I don't care how impossible it may seem to you, but God is the only one that is all and mighty. Satan is not all and mighty. It's limited. The Bible says because it's time, he has an expiration date on him already. The only problem is we don't know that date, but God knows it. When Jesus comes back and we go through the 7 years and all of, it's going to be tied up. Locked up for 1,000 years, that it will not be able to have influence on anyone or anything. Praise the Lord. So there's an expiration on the activities and the works of the devil already. God has a date on it. That problem you have right now, that situation you have right now, there's an expiration date on it. And I pray that the Lord will hasten it to come to pass for you. In the name of Jesus, I pray the Lord will hasten it to come to pass. In the mighty name of Jesus. So, number one was what? Famine will come. Number two, every famine has an expiration date on it. Number three, you can have victory in spite of your handicap. In fact, God has designed, if he's going to take the glory, it won't be because of what you did. If it's because of what you did, then it's not God, it's you. Amen? In spite of your handicap, God is able to give you victory. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I really don't understand this thing. Look at this. The Bible says the four lepers, they sat down together and they said, look, why sit we here until we die? If we go into the city, these people will kill us. They don't care about us. They are hungry. Lepers ate the leftover of the normal people. But now the normal people are hungry. If not for their disease, they probably will have eaten them because they are weak and less privileged. In spite of the handicap, God can do what he needs to do. The Bible says they suddenly said to themselves, let's go to the camp of the Syrians. If they kill us, we're going to die here anyway. But we know we have taken a chance to better our lot. So they began to march at twilight. One of the problems with believers today is this. Listen to this. Listen to this. We come to church. We hear a good sermon. We're excited. Are you falling asleep? And you are standing. When things start dropping, when somebody is standing, you know. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. Listen to this. Many believers, they don't have problems making decisions. But they have a problem following through with decisions. Thank God for what co-pastor preached, hearts like David. I know what God wants me to do, and this is what I'm going to do now. They are determined. They are decided. They just never do it. The Bible says these four lepers, they looked at their situation and they said, you know what? Let's get up and go. The moment they made the decision, they didn't postpone it till the next day. That very day, they made their move. There is danger in delay. There is what? Danger in delay. Because that thing that you want, several thousand people want it to as well. As you are delaying and they are moving forward, they will grab it together and say, I wish you came 10 minutes ago. I just gave it away. But that will not be your portion. Amen. In the name of Jesus. There's a lady called Wilma. Wilma, you should know her, Wilma Rudolph. Wilma Rudolph, 4 years after she was born, contracted the polio virus. And the doctors told her she will never walk again. You know what polio is? It affects the nerve, the sciatic nerve, and it shrinks the muscle. The muscle tone is reduced. So it shrinks the leg. So in one leg, you are not as strong as the other because of the virus. Listen to me. I want you to understand, every time you read the Bible, don't be in a hurry. Listen to this. Listen to this. There are no space holders in the Bible. Tracy, you get that? No space holders. There are no words in the Bible that are just holding space. The Bible says there were four lepers, and the four lepers were outside of the city, and they were by the city gate. There's a reason for that. Lone wolves usually die alone. So I'm a lone ranger. I don't like to deal with anybody. I got this. I don't want anybody in my business. Okay, I'm not going to say it, but you understand what the point I'm making. There were four of them. They came together and they said, look, we're in serious danger. If we sit here, we will die. The Bible says, in the multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. Don't be a lone wolf. Don't be a lone ranger. Amen? Don't be a lone ranger. Don't be a loner. At the reunion, they talked about somebody and how something bad happened, and everybody was informed. And without people talking to themselves, nobody responded to the guy. You know why? He's a lone ranger. He's all, when things are happening, he's not there. He just does his own thing. He's a part of the family, but he does his own thing away from everybody else. In the day of trouble, without people saying, don't call him. Don't call. At least nobody told me, don't call him. But somehow, my wife, when they were talking about it, my wife was like, did you call? I said, no. And there was just no connection. Don't be a loner. God has planted that brother, that sister next to you for a reason. Let's leave that and let's continue. Wilma, in spite of what the doctor said to her, the doctor said to her, let me read the quote. Said, my doctors told me I would never walk again. My mother told me I would. I believed my mother. You know why? The mother was a Christian. She believed the word of the Lord that the mother prophesied into her life. And guess what? Wilma went on to be the first woman, black woman, the first woman in America to win 3 gold medals in one Olympic game event. Don't forget, she had polio. They said she would never walk again, but the mother said she would walk, and indeed she walked. And after she walked, she became an athlete. She ran and got a gold at the Olympics. If that's how they run, they will never win anything. But I'm just trying to be funny, you know. She ran. Many of you can't catch up with me if you run. So some people that thought they could try me with push-ups, they were surprised. They always forget that I'm a veteran of the U.S. Army. I still got some. Whose report would you believe? Whose report? Whose report? Whose report? Believe the report of the Lord is able to change your life and my life. Let me tell you a few things about God that should encourage you to know that you should trust the Lord. God owns it all. Psalm 24 verse 1. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything in it is guarded. Wilma beat polio. You will beat this challenge that you have. I say you will beat this challenge that you have. In the name of Jesus. You will beat this siege. In the name of Jesus. Do not despair. I bring the word of the Lord to you today. Do not despair. Believe me, yesterday I was telling my wife, I said, I don't know what I'm going to preach. It was a struggle. It was a struggle. But the Lord just spoke to me. I told her, I said, I got it. I said, I got it. And I started working on it. Then I said, you know what? Let me go rest. Because sometimes when I sleep, the Lord begins to tell me stuff in my sleep too. So I woke up refreshed. 3 o'clock, I got at it. God is wanting me to say to somebody here today that do not despair. Don't give up. You are not hopeless. You are not. It may look like your situation is hopeless, but there is hope for you. Job chapter 14 from verse 7, he said, if there is hope for a tree, that after it is cut down, a tree, you cut down a tree. He said, if there is hope for a tree that is cut down that is going to grow back up, say, how much more you? Believe me, I'm more valuable than a tree. I'm much more valuable. Before God, I forget it. I'm much more valuable than a tree. The Bible says if there is hope for a tree, that you will water the tree, that the tree will grow back up, said there is hope for you. And I'm saying to you this morning, there is hope for you. Do not despair. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and it will perfect everything concerning you. Number one, the God you serve is a wealthy man, is a wealthy God. He owns everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 50 verse 10. Every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle upon 1,000 hills, they are mine. Haggai chapter 2 verse 8. He said, the gold is mine, the silver is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And guess what? This God is, it. Not only does he have it all, he's plenteous in mercy. That means he will forgive if we repent. Amen? God will forgive you if you are truly repentant. The Bible says he is plenteous in mercy. Psalm 103 verse 8. Psalm 103 verse 8. He is plenteous in mercy. The enemy goes about accusing people. That is his job. Don't do it for him. He's the accuser of the brethren. Don't be the one that is talking about everybody. Have you heard? You have joined gang with the enemy. Because that's the job of Satan. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. The fact that someone has been accused of something, you know, it does not necessarily mean they have done it. That's why people go to court and they come out acquitted and discharged. You know, so whether right or wrong, he will accuse you. I praise the Lord. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, but God is a merciful God. The Bible says he is plenteous in mercy. Not only is he plenteous in mercy, he is forgiven. When you read the same Psalm 103 from 2 to 4, it says, who forgiveth the all? Somebody say all. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases? He redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. God is got it all. God is plenteous in mercy. God is forgiving and God is compassionate. Look at the miracles that Jesus did. The Bible will say each time that he was moved with compassion and he healed the person that was sick. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Jesus is compassionate. He loves you and loves me very passionately. Stop looking down on yourself. It's not an excuse to practice sin. He said, shall we continue in sin and expect that grace will abound? He said, God forbid. I'm not giving you a license to sin. I'm just telling you about this God. He's a compassionate, loving, kind God. Well, let's continue with our text. So what must I do? Because the reality of my situation is I'm in despair. Amen? For somebody that is in despair right now, say, I've had everything. Okay, God is this, God is that. What must I do? The number one thing you must do is you must recognize there is a problem. In verse 4 of our text, 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 4, the Bible says, those guys told themselves, there is a famine in the city. They were not in denial. A lot of people are in denial. Somebody say denial. Don't deny the problem. There's a little girl that had been taught, I guess, a little too much about faith. So, she's a pastor's daughter. So, someone, they went to visit them at home, you know, and they said, oh, you at home? She said, yeah. Why aren't you in school? She said, because I don't have a cold. I said, well, if you don't have a cold, then you should be in school. But what she was trying to say was she was speaking faith. You know, she's saying, I didn't go to school. She really didn't go to school because she had a cold. But she didn't want to confess negative. So she said, I didn't go to school because I don't have a cold.
That's denial. I have a cold, but I believe I'm healed. I caught a cold. I caught the flu, but I am healed in Jesus' name. Don't be in denial. Don't be in denial. Many people deny their problems. Many people deny their challenges. And that is why resolution takes forever. Don't be in denial. Don't be in denial. That's the number one thing. Number two, say, what must I do? Number one, recognize the problem. Call it by its name. Don't call a spade an agricultural tool. Call it a spade. That's where that proverb came from. Call a spade a spade. Don't say, I have an agricultural tool. Okay, is it a tractor that you have? Do you understand what I'm saying? Call it what it is. Call it what it is. So that we can pray the kind of prayer that is needed for that kind of problem. So number one thing, recognize the problem. Number two, appraise the situation and weigh your options. It will surprise you that these three lepers, they appraise their situation. The first question they ask them, say, why must we sit here until we die and not do anything about our lives? Why must you remain in that situation and say, ki sera sera, what will be, no. Many people say, time heals wounds. That is a wound that has been cleansed. If you don't clean a wound and you allow time, it will get infected. If it becomes gangrenous, they will cut off the limb. It doesn't get better with time. It does not get better with time. It's when you do something about it that it gets better with time. Relationships don't just get better with time because you continue to be in the relationship. If you don't do anything about it, it will worsen over time. It will deteriorate. It's the reason why people divorce. The day they signed the divorce paper was not the day they divorced. They divorced a long time ago. You just didn't know about it. Because at home, they are sleeping in different... They don't talk at home. When they come to church, they put a face for everybody. And once everybody gets in the car, everybody face your face. Praise the Lord. Time does not heal anything if we don't do something about it. So we appraise the situation. Number one, they said, why should we sit here and die? Number two, they said, okay, what are our options? What options do we have? Say, okay, perhaps we go to the city. Said, no, we can't go to the city. Don't forget we are lepers. Those people don't approve for lepers to come in the city. If we go in the city, they will kill us. And there's no food there anyway. There is famine in the city. Amen. Weigh your options. If we sit here, we will die. And then number three, they said, let us go to the camp of the Assyrians. They took that third option. You know why? The Syrians don't have a culture of stoning to death lepers. Because you remember, Naaman was a Syrian general, but he was a leper, and it was all right for them. So they said, let's go to the Syrians. Maybe they will accept us. And if they kill us, we were going to die here anyway. So let's go and die over there. At least we know we died trying. So they went. Listen to this. That's why I said you should note the twilight. Anytime, the third thing is faith. Have faith in God and act upon your faith. Listen to this. Anytime you take a step of faith, are you listening to me? Every time you take a step of faith, even though you don't see anything happening, things are happening in the realm of the spirit. The lepers, the Bible says, once they made the decision at twilight, they began to go. I don't have time to tell you about lepers. Lepers have stumps for feet. They don't have a feet. They don't have a foot. They have stumps because the bone has been eaten away. So they are walking staggered. These men that cannot really walk, as they are walking, they have not even seen the camp of the Syrians, but the Syrians already started hearing noises of chariots. You know why? Because they trusted God, every feeble step was multiplied. 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 By the time they got to the camp of the Syrians, they were all gone because they were afraid. What you don't know is the enemy is more afraid of you than you are afraid of him. Feeble step. As they are taking their feeble steps, the enemy was hearing the noise of a chariot and horses. That's what they were hearing. Real heavy duty noises. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. That's what they were hearing. But it was just four lepers managing to get across to the other side. When you take a step of faith and step out, that step that you are taking, God will multiply. And because you are trusting him, you are not going in your name. You are going in his name. Because you are acting on his word, he begins to orchestrate things for you in the realm of the spirit. He begins to orchestrate things for you in the realm of it. If you don't believe it, at least you are in this building. You should understand how we got here. On Monday, I was in despair. On Friday, we were inspecting this building. There is no commercial building property that you close in 1 month. Even residential takes time. Right? Right, Alexa? Unbelievable. So you close? Yes, we close. Inspection. There's a lady that was sharing a testimony with me in camp. The church that they were telling me about, they bought the building 2006. They just got their certificate of occupancy this year. Do the math. We got our certificate of occupancy in less than 24 hours. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. There's five things that you need to get. We got four in a space of like 3 hours. The fifth one, the guy said, well, you know, I'm not going to pass you this and that and that and that and that. I'm going to give you a partial pass. If you have 4.5 out of 5, that's a passing grade. We got it. The day they came was the day we got it. What am I saying to you? We took a step of faith. Yes, we were in despair, but we recovered. May you recover today. May you recover today. In the name of Jesus, we were dejected and depressed and all of those things, but we shook it off. You will shake it off and you will beat that situation. I say you will beat that situation in the mighty name of Jesus. The next time I have an opportunity to preach a message like this, it will be your testimony I will be using as example. In the mighty name of Jesus. Why? Because this God is a good God, is a real God. Why don't you rise to your feet this morning? Rise to your feet this morning. I want you to proclaim it with your own mouth and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I will beat this situation. You know what situation? Put the situation there. I will beat you. I will beat you. If it's a sickness, mention the sickness. Say, I will beat you in the name of Jesus. I am an overcomer in the name of Jesus. I am on top. I am not beneath. In the name of Jesus, I am over you. I am over you in the name of Jesus. The Lord has spoken well concerning me. It is my year of fruitfulness. It is my year of bountiful harvest. In the name of Jesus, in this year, I will fulfill destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus, my potentials will be maximized. In the name of Jesus, thank you, blessed Redeemer. Hallelujah. 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 Friends, I don't like to assume in a service like this. Believe me, if you don't have a relationship with this God, he's not going to fight for you like that. Amen? Or maybe you are not living right. The enemy will accuse you based on what you are doing wrong before God, and your answers might be delayed. So if this morning you know you are not born again, I want you to beat that situation. That's my prayer for you. I want testimonies this year so that when I begin to minister like this, I'll be ministering like Gio and telling testimonies of this and that and that and that. And I believe it will happen. But sin is a hindrance. You are here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are not born again. You don't have that relationship with Him. I want you to come forward very quickly. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Or you say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a Christian in good standing. I need you to pray with me so that I can beat this situation. Anybody? If you're here, just wave. If you are not here, we just close the service. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you all of the glory, all of the praise. Lord, I lift up your children unto you. As many as may be in despair this morning, Lord, arise for their defense, O God. Pull them above every siege in the mighty name of Jesus. Say, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you will cause us as a people to rise up with wings as eagles in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, you will come through for us every siege. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you will give us a breakthrough. Lord, we will break through the ranks of the enemy and we will go onto the other side into our promised land, into your promises for our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' mighty name I have prayed. Amen. As we close the service, if today is your first time here, Sister Betty, please come. Please stand on the side so they can see you. Please go with Sister Betty. We have a short reception for you. This is your first time. Please go with Sister Betty. We have a little reception for you. God bless you. Father, we thank you for the service of today. Lord, as the service has come to a close, we ask Almighty God that, Lord, you take all the glory, take all the honor, take all the adoration. Lord, as your children have received your word and begin to live and act and function by your word, on your word, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, you will come through for us. You will glorify yourself, O God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name.